This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan together with T. Xiao Eek. So before the break, we were talking about the COVID-19 clusters that are happening in prisons in Kedah and Sabah, and whether we should consider early release programs as a way of preventing these outbreaks from happening again. And now on to our second story. As we mentioned earlier, October is International Dyslexia Awareness Month. And this is a time when various countries around the world, advocates, educators, parents, and those living with dyslexia come together to raise awareness, to share resources, and to tell stories about dyslexia challenges as well as successes. And as I learned about this month, it actually got me thinking about this particular year that we've had. You know, we've talked a lot about the challenges faced by schools and teachers and students because of the pandemic. But, it got me thinking about how this impacts students with dyslexia because, with learning and schooling so severely changed and impacted this year, how is this affecting the kids who already face their own set of unique challenges when it comes to learning?
So we'd like to hear from you. If there's anyone listening in who perhaps you are living with dyslexia, you have kids especially who have dyslexia, can you share your thoughts with us? You know, tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 to tell us how you're coping. So just some background, dyslexia is classified as a specific learning difficulty that involves difficulty reading due to problems identifying speech sounds, and also difficulty learning how they relate to letters and words. And it's known as the ability to decode letters or words, hence why it's also often called a reading disability. Simply put, dyslexia affects areas of the brain that process language. People with dyslexia have normal intelligence and usually have normal vision as well. There is no cure for dyslexia, but early assessment and intervention can help greatly. And most children with dyslexia can succeed in school with tutoring or with a specialized education program. And of course, emotional support is also very important when it comes to learning to live with dyslexia.
And according to Dyslexia International, about 5 to 10% of the global population experience dyslexia. So that equates to around 700 million people worldwide. And meanwhile, here in Malaysia, our health ministry estimates that about 4 to 8% of school-going Malaysian children have dyslexia. So that's about 215,000 or up to 432,000 children.
That is not a small number at all. And that's not even accounting for the students who have not been diagnosed. Perhaps it's just simply not been recognized or they're not even in the system to be counted in the first place. And you're right that, all this virtual and remote learning has been a struggle for everyone. I think all parents and their kids have been struggling to some extent to cope with it during the MCO. It's not easy. Don't even talk about the technology gap or the digital gap, even for those who have the equipment. And the teachers themselves, learning to teach and then learning to learn remotely is a very different ballgame altogether.
Yeah, and I think all of the things that we take for granted and even those of us who have had to sit through Zoom meetings or seminars can understand this. All of the things you take for granted, like body language and just being able to see someone in a room or take a cue from someone else, all of those things are taken away. Yeah. And, until I sort of started reading and thinking a little bit more about this, it didn't strike me that kids who have had to go through this virtual schooling or even now maybe are not going to school.
Yeah.
May actually be struggling with this in a way that we don't even think about.
That's right. Yeah.
So to help us get more insight into this, we do have on the line educational psychologist Tan Cheng Yi. Thanks for joining us, Cheng Yi. Now, could you first outline the typical difficulties that children with dyslexia face when it comes to learning, especially under the standard school system?
Okay, so maybe I should begin by defining what dyslexia is. Dyslexia is a specific learning difficulty. It's specific because it's associated with the difficulty with decoding print. So children with dyslexia will be affected in their spelling, their reading, as well as their writing. So in the school system, how dyslexia affects them is it slows them down in the ability to acquire reading skills or just literacy skills in general. When they are falling behind in their ability to read and keep up, They also miss out on information that is in within the school. Some children also have difficulties with their memory system. So because of that, they do miss out even more information, or they get fatigue easily because they have to pay attention very hard compared to other children to stay, you know, in tune with what is happening, especially in the noise and in a big class of 30, 40 or even 50 sometimes. There are a lot of distraction. So trying to filter out and trying to focus when you already have a difficulty, it's doubly hard. So they work much harder, and so they reach saturation point faster, and they become fatigued. That's why some children tune out so quickly, and you think that, oh, they're not paying attention, they're being naughty, they're daydreaming. Those kind of things do happen.
And how has all this been compounded by everything that we are all facing this year? You know, the pandemic, the MCO, remote learning, social distancing. What has all this done to children who are already dealing with dyslexia?
I think it's we cannot say for all, because children are also different, even those with dyslexia. Really depends on their background. But on a whole, because they have this, learning difference from other people, I guess because they learn best when it's repetition and over time, you know, to make material stick, they have to do it again and again. And when you have this keep having a break in the school attendance because of COVID with the MCO, and now parents are keeping their children home a lot because of their fear. Because of that, the learning is disrupted. So that doesn't help because they need this consistency and repetition over time. The other thing is, of course, there's also the sliding backwards because when they are not in touch with things, most children would retain and go forward. There is also the tendency to go backwards for those with dyslexia because they don't they are not in touch regularly with the materials, with the reading, with the writing, with the practice, the drills.
And what about when it comes to virtual learning or screens? Do these help or hinder when it comes to children with dyslexia?
I think it's harder because I think learning involves so many different things. Being in a school setting allows the children to see and touch and experiment. And then there's also the social aspect of learning where, you know, your friends pull you along, you take cues from others. So when you are behind a screen, those things are not available. And children with dyslexia, they tend to need a slower pace. But when you have online learning, you tend to have one pace for all. Your teacher cannot go to your desk and sort of monitor and look and see, you know, who is falling behind and who is keeping in touch. So that they're missing out. They don't have the ability to sort of pause and ask for help to their teachers, especially, you know, when you have online learning and so many in one class. They also need probably smaller steps, and that's, again, difficult when you're online and you only have it once. You know, you watch your teacher go through once, and then if you miss it, you've missed it. Because of the fatigue, as I said, paying attention online can be very intense. You have to really be able to, you know, look at the screen and listen and tune in. And there are always that internet disruption, or there could be lagging. You could miss words here and there. So it really is not conducive. I guess the other thing is also the environment at home. You know, your environment at home may not be the most conducive for learning. In school, you have the teacher disciplining or setting the scene, you know, getting everybody to pay attention, be ready to take instructions. And when you're at home, it's a little bit free for all. It's very unstructured. unless you have a parent who has the time to actually sit next to the child to coach and to help them along, it really is very difficult.
I know you said earlier that a lot of this differs from child to child depending on their background and family and so on. But in a broader sense, now that schools have reopened, do you think things have gone back to normal?
No, I don't think so. And I'm basing it on what my friends have told me and what my own children are going through. Things are definitely not gone back to normal. I think it's harder for teachers to teach and for children to learn because they have to sit at their desk. They have to, practice social distancing. And there's more mental load, I think, because of so many things, SOPs that have to bear in mind. So it's no longer that free. There's more fear than there is free. There's a lot of things that they have to adhere to, and teachers are being more burdened with getting recess orders because they can't go to the canteen, the food has to be brought up to them, etc. So I do think that it's being affected, and when you have more burden with this SOPs and the pandemic, I think it'll be harder to focus on the actual learning. But I do see some silver linings coming out from it as well. I see some parents because of the pandemic and the situation at school that isn't very consistent have taken things into their hands, which is why I say it really depends on the background. I know with some children from perhaps lower socioeconomic status may not have that luxury of their parents being around to help them along. But for those who can, I've seen parents taking things into their hands and taking over. And if they're the kind of parents who can, and the children who also can respond to their parents at home, they have taken a slower pace. They are not following the curriculum as closely, or because of the pandemic, they have been staying at home. They have been able to catch up on elements of reading and writing and spelling, which they otherwise wouldn't have because the curriculum goes so quickly. So there are those cases also that I have seen,
So what should adults be mindful of now when it comes to children with dyslexia? You know, how can parents pick up on difficulties or struggles that their kids might be facing?
I think that they would observe that their children are frustrated and they may not be able to keep up with their work or may not be able to finish their homework, or without adult assistance, they might not be able to complete their work. They may be finding themselves being distracted very easily because, when you can't attain to one thing, you're not successful in one area, then it's very easy to go and be distracted and do other things. So I think they should look out, and dyslexia is not something that goes away with age, that you can just, magically disappear. It does need quite a lot of intentional input. Your children may need you to spend time reading with them, reading to them aloud, so that they can actually hear the words and match them to what they see. They may need you to organize things for them. So one of the difficulties with dyslexia or the co-occurring condition is that they usually have this difficulties with organizing things or sequencing things. So parents can come in and help them to organize their environment, have a set place, designated area in a home where they can learn. So they associate that with learning, have one place for one thing where they put all their books, the pencil case, so that they know where to get it. This will help reduce their mental load. They're not spending time looking for things that they can't find. And therefore, by the time they sit down and do their work, they're really tired. Categorize things and color code that for them. Time also, they're not very good with telling time. So parents can set a time for them and put an alarm or put a clock in front of them and say, okay, you're going to do this for half an hour, and then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and do something else. So you actually put a boundary around their play time, their work time, and their rest time, so that, you know, they get it all balanced out, because that fatigue does set in, especially when you have a whole day of online learning, and everything is dictated by the school, and that timetable or that schedule may not fit in with your child. So I think you need to pay attention to those things. Maybe even talk to other parents or get the teachers to give the materials ahead of time, so they have opportunity to look it over, because it repetition helps with dyslexia.
Cheng Yi, any final message for Dyslexia Awareness Month, particularly within the current context that we're now in?
Dyslexia, you know, is something that it is a neurodevelopmental condition. It's not something that a child asks for or a person asks for. It's not their fault. They're not necessarily, you know, stupid or lazy. So dyslexia, it's definitely a brain condition, and it's also a condition that we can also overcome with intervention, with proper diagnosis. So if you do see somebody struggling, do send that message to them, and perhaps, don't first, you know, I think often we think that, you know, somebody is lazy or somebody's not trying hard enough, but try to see it in a more positive light and see that it's something that perhaps we can do something about it.
Thank you, Cheng Yi. That was educational psychologist Tan Cheng Yi speaking about the specific challenges faced by children with dyslexia when it comes to learning under this new normal. And that was, of course, in conjunction with October being Dyslexia Awareness Month.
So we did get a few WhatsApps from a representative of the Rakan Dyslexia Facebook group who are organizing some activities in conjunction with this month. So among these activities are a webinar series that runs throughout the month of October, right up to the end of the month. And there's also going to be a virtual run, and that's actually throughout the whole month. So you can check out these activities if you look for Rakan Dyslexia on Facebook, but that's spelled with the Bahasa spelling. Or you can also search for hashtag My Dyslexia Awareness. Just to check out what their activities are, and, you know, just reach out if you need support.
And if you're looking for information or support in a more structured sense, you know, when it comes to dyslexia, you can also reach out to Pusat Dyslexia Malaysia, and their website is dyslexiamalaysia.org. So we are running out of time for today, but if you have thoughts that you'd like to share with us, you can tweet us at BFM Radio, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or drop us a message on Facebook. We are BFM The Bigger Picture. And if you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts at bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app, or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, Dashun Johan will be speaking to Datin Wong Poi Hong, who is the Honorary Project Director of Childline Foundation. And they will be speaking about a study that has found out that two out of five children reported having bad experiences online, and that boys and girls are even being asked to send explicit pictures. So they'll be discussing the findings of that report. So stay tuned for that after the 3 p.m. news. We'll leave you now with the Beatles singing With a Little Help from My Friends, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.